Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I have a big announcement to make.
Whoa! Hold on, I wasn't ready for an announcement.
I know, usually you're ready for some ass shenanigans, but no, I got something serious to talk about, because normally, you know, we had that super show last week with Stephanie Kofel, and we didn't get a chance to talk about anything coming out of San Diego Comic-Con, because that's, of course, where all the big announcements come from that keep us wagging our tongues for a while. But, you know, we here at this here podcast, not so much Corey, but I have an announcement to make. This is your chance to be co-host with Corey.
What?
Yeah. If I may pull Hipgate into it, I am scheduled to get a new hip November 29th.
You're such a hipster replacement.
I know. Ain't it great? But if it happens, and we'll talk about that when we get to freaking, I will go under and get a new hip the 29th. Although I'll be up 4 hours and walking, I will be in therapy probably the following Monday. So throughout the month of December, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, almost 5 shows. We're looking for a co-host.
And, 5 shows?
Yeah, because I may not be available for those shows. And it's not so much that I'm not available, it's just I can't sit. I won't be able to sit at like a right angle because the muscles will be such in a place that I got to be careful on how I flex them. Matter of fact, I even have this thing called a toilet extender where I can, apparently it'll allow me to just lean back. So instead of being 3 feet off the ground, I'll be 5 feet off the ground in order to drop a load. But
extender, ladies and gentlemen.
I know.
This comic book podcast is talking about a toilet extender.
Well, for anybody who's had a hip replace, it's news to them. It's not news to them. So, Corey, what we have to figure out is how do you want people? I think we should have a couple ground rules. First of all, no one that's either been a co-host or has maybe been like a special guest on the show should be allowed. Of course, that's up to you. You know, so again, this is your chance to say screw you, Angel. But you know, again, if you want to bring him on, that's your business, because I'll be probably hepped up on Percocet that month.
So I could have some of our previous guest hosts on, and you wouldn't know for years.
Well, no, I do download the show, but I'm only up to show 3 in terms of re-listening everything. You know, way back when.
That's what I'd heard.
But what would you want people to do? Just send you an email, say, "Hey, yes, I am interested," or should we wait and see what this upcoming Skype fallout will be?
I say just shoot an email to solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject co-host.
Not that he gets a lot of mail anyway, so I mean, even if you just put it under Kraken Hookers, he'd still look at it and see.
Actually, if you put it under Kraken Hookers, I'll look at it first.
See? Aha. So that'll put you to the front of the pile. Now, what you got any anything you're looking for, or you just figure if you're one of our awesome listeners, you're eligible?
It will depend on how many people apply. If a whole bunch of people apply, then maybe we'll have a competition of some kind.
Or maybe I'll take January off, too. Who knows? We got options. It's really, once I'm done, I probably am not looking to go back to work until February. Hopefully by February. Yeah, it's like...
Just think of all the comics you could read.
Well, once I'm done with the Percocet, I can sit without pain. Yeah. But... we'll talk about that a little bit more in freaking. So, but yeah, I figured this would be something fun to do, and then I don't have to worry about doing anything for the December except maybe getting that therapy done, because I'm not sure how that's going to be.
We don't allow raccoons as guest hosts anymore, though, right?
It's up to the cleaner, not me.
Okay, no raccoons, no possums, no rodents.
Well, which separates us from the weasels.
No weasels.
Mm. Well, there goes Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Although, yeah, I would allow Bun Bun on the show.
Yeah, he's very quiet.
That's okay.
Of course, you'd have to coax him out from under the bed.
I have goldfish crackers.
No, you don't.
Yes.
They've been recalled.
Okay, I have the knockoffs ones from Aldi that are called safe. Penguins.
Oh, he probably won't care. Yeah, I was kind of bummed out this week because finally all these freaking food recalls hit us because it was like, Dana's like, I'm going to eat these Ritz. No, no, don't. Throw them out just in case. And then we had to throw out the goldfish. And, you know, it's sad, too, because, you know, I'm trying to get my blood sugars under control. And you think, well, I'll eat salads. Well, probably not a prepared salad because those seem to be pretty bad for you right now. I'm telling you, we probably should just stick with deep fried foods because you never hear anybody, you know, getting a disease or a parasite from them. I mean, yeah, granted, later on, heart attacks, strokes, you know, that type of stuff.
Pretty much they're deep frying everything, so aren't they deep frying parasites?
Yeah, and they don't bother you as much as apparently ones that are on raw food.
Deep fried lamb freeze.
Lamb chop.
Go to the state fair. This year they have deep fried ticks.
Yum. Ticks on a stick.
So you're getting a new hip. You're going to be a hipster.
Yep. I'm going to not only alarm when I walk through the TSA detectors, apparently I'll be one of those people that TSA is secretly watching.
And you'll have the special card too, won't you?
Yeah, you know, they say, the one thing I've discovered is nobody lies to me about having a hip. So, you know, you want to show me a card saying, I got a hip. I said, I believe you. You know, and that's one of the reasons the body scanners are nice because, you know, it bounces the millimeter wave off your skin and it doesn't detect any metal that's in you. But it does detect, like, you know, things you forgot to take out of your pocket, you know, like Kleenex, wads of bill, you know.
So
45 automatic.
Wait a minute. Do you get to choose the metal they use?
I don't know anything yet because I have not. The timeline for this is, I was a little freaked because he was like, okay, my next opening is November 1st. And I was like, aw, because I want to get it done now.
I've had it. This hip needs to go. Treat it like a gallbladder.
You know, that was the thing. He said if it's a fractured hip, they would work on it right away. But because it's you know, it's bone on bone and it's very painful. I mean, it's beyond anything I've suffered from RA, and it's nonstop and it's 24/7 and it's very, very, I can't describe it. It's not crippling like you had with gallbladder where you're like, oh, I can't move, but I just don't feel like moving and I don't feel like laying down. I don't feel like sitting. I don't feel like standing. Ice doesn't work. Hot doesn't work. Oh, it's just very grating. But I have a complication.
Uh-oh.
My blood sugars are too high.
Oh.
Now, this could be from one of several things. If you remember when I told you...
Cases of White Castles and deep-fried Twinkies?
Twinkies, yes. Castles, no. They don't. Their carbs aren't too heavy on those. But you remember the story I said where I had an allergic reaction and I got carted out to the hospital?
Yes.
Well, apparently there's a drug, and I always say it wrong. Pertazone? It's an anti-inflammatory. And they gave it to me in December. They gave it to me in April. They gave it to me about when this whole crap started back in June. Well, it spikes your blood sugar.
Oh.
So the reading I'm getting now may not be true because of that. I also discovered I was taking my meds wrong. There was one I was supposed to take two times a day, not once. And also, maybe not a significant factor, but the fact that I can't walk means that I used to walk like 1-2 miles a day. I can't walk 10 fucking steps without passing out. I'm virtually no exercise. So
now you're a real comic book fan.
I have until October to get the blood sugars down. If they don't go down, I can't get the operation because it's too much of a risk of infection. And then they have to take the hip out. They have to put a pack in to get the infection down and eventually put a hip back in. And I guess the implication is during the time the infection's down, I don't have a hip. So in the meantime, I'm going to figure out if I can get myself a handicap sticker since I can't walk and I'll be pretty much immobile in December. So we'll have a new segment, Who Wants to Go Christmas Shopping with Joe? So I can park. Right up front. None of this. Yeah, I'm parked 3 miles over there. No, I'm right up front. So that's just the fun I get to go through. Don't get old, folks.
What a drag it is getting old.
Well, you and Hulk Hogan will have something in common.
Yeah, the difference is he's actually in better shape and has muscles to. Actually, I don't know how muscular I am down there. You know, the hip's kind of a, I mean, there's muscle there, but it's not like really thick muscle that they have to rip through. But everybody I talk to that's had the hips done say, oh, you'll be so glad when you do it. So I'll have another scar in me. Yay!
Yeah, chicks dig scars.
Yes, and tattoos.
I don't know. They don't seem to be interested in my comic book tattoos.
No, well, and Grendel's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But maybe if you start out and don't say, it's a comic book. Okay, goodbye. Just say, well, it's a, blah, 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 blah. Give it a good description. You know, make it sound real meaty and manly.
What is it? It's a symbol of death and pain.
Oh, I love you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, you said that you had all this news from San Diego. I only have one big piece of news.
What's that?
That is the people who won the Eisner Awards.
Ooh. Well, let me run down mine because most of mine are things people have probably heard already. And I saw the trailers for Godzilla, and I was kind of excited about that. But the ones that really hit me, the ones that made me sit up and go, "Hey, wait a minute, Miracle Man," back in 2019.
I'm kind of amazed that they didn't tell us before that there were some legal issues.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. And I guess this actually came up, but this announcement came out because somebody in the retailer group, took a blurry picture
of it.
And then just sent it out. So I don't think they wanted this necessarily public information. I didn't hear.
It's going to be at a retailer conference. We're going to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear anything more about the legal stuff, did you?
I have not heard anything about the legal stuff. Other than the reason it wasn't released was there were some legal issues that needed to get worked out.
Well, you got the clout of the mouse behind you now, so I think they got them worked out.
Well, let's hope.
Let's see. Jeff Johns on a new Shazam title. Grant Morrison on Green Lantern.
Wade already announced that.
Yeah. And I think you talked about they're thinking about bringing the original New 52 Superman back.
Yeah.
So he'll be kind of in the background. So those were kind of fun.
They also announced who's taking over the other Green Lantern book, by the way, Joe.
Who's that?
Dan Jurgens.
Ooh, that should be cool. So DC, you're doing right. I mean, every time I turn around, Marvel's like, we're doing this book. Oh, I gotta buy it. And DC, I've been real cool on, but these are things that'll get me back in the fold. I'm not even upset that Batman 50 and Catwoman 1 are returnable.
I couldn't believe how many people were mad about that. I do understand that. Yes, DC put together this big event with the midnight stuff at stores, and they basically hyped this to the moon, and then spoiler alert, they didn't get married. Now,
yeah,
I'm sorry, but 10-15 years ago they wouldn't have hyped it to the moon, and it would have been, oh well, that's There's no way they would get married. But people actually bought into, hey, they're going to get married. This is going to be a big deal. It'll be a permanent change in Batman. And then they didn't make the change. And DC had to eat it on that one.
Yeah. And again, I haven't gotten mine yet, so I guess I'm not too concerned about it. But it was kind of, I do like to read books without the spoiler. And I guess the other thing was, is that they spoiled the surprise, the news like 2 days out before the
book
even hit.
It was in the Sunday New York Times.
Yeah, it's like
the whole plot of the story was in the Sunday New York Times. So all the shops were like, you got to be kidding. You're spoiling it. And we put out money. Joe, you owned a shop. Having a midnight opening, that costs money. You have to pay people to show up. And you had a 24-hour sale. You brought in a security guy, and that's not free.
Yeah. Well, that was a sale. I never did the midnight event thing. And I'm not sure if I would have, because, you know, maybe with the big shop I would have, but the little shop probably I wouldn't have bothered. You know, I might have gauged things and done a thing like, hey, anybody want it early? I'll come and get you your copy. But I didn't see most of my customers wanting that or caring, you know. And for the source, you know, they'd have all their books laid out anyway, so there's always somebody there wanting it first. And they have a way of making an event out of stuff anyway. Yeah. I mean, I remember going and getting the Harry Potter books from them.
Harry Potter?
I have the Potter. Well, yeah, anybody could get Harry.
Are the Harry Potter books any different?
Oh, Gary. Come on. Come with the program.
Oh, here. Gary Jeez. Potter. The Gary American Potter. Cousin.
Exactly.
The scar on his forehead isn't a lightning bolt. It's a cheeseburger.
So what do you think about James Gunn getting off Guardians?
We talked about this a little in the past. I actually have been trading tweets with Colleen Duran about this, where she said, look, major companies are now going to start putting morals clauses in the contracts of everybody. And I personally thought they already did. But she said, well, comic book companies don't, but they're going to start. And the first thing as a professional you need to do, go through your social media. Go through your social media, because if there's stuff like this that could embarrass them or get pulled up on TMZ or end up on, you know, Fox News, they're going to be able to drop you in a heartbeat. And, you know, you had that problem a couple of years ago with the artist on the X-Men. Here's a guy who built his career. He finally is drawing the X-Men, and he puts a whole bunch of anti-Semitic graffiti in one issue. And it's like, you're gone. You're done. I haven't heard his name anywhere. Haven't yeah. seen him anywhere. All his convention appearances were gone. There are some creators out there who, you know, they're doing well on Kickstarter, but none of the corporate companies. And let's be honest, Dark Horse, Image, Marvel, DC, IDW, they're not going to touch people with histories like that with a 10-foot pole, because these are big companies. They work with Hollywood properties, and they're going to go, no. We don't want Fox News getting that. We don't want TMZ getting that. No, we're done.
And it's even that way with TSA. I mean, there's been people who have made comments outside of work that have gotten around and gotten back to people. You know, I even got kind of a thin-veiled thing. Not so much about what I said, because my whole attitude is anything I say on Facebook, I will say to your face. But they were more like, well, you probably shouldn't have, you know, that you work TSA.
Right.
They're thinking more security ways, because they're worried about somebody, you know, oh, let's get this guy because he works TSA. And I'm pretty sure none of our listeners would be that way, would they? We're family.
Yeah. And, yeah, I have yet to say anything that would get me fired from a job.
I should say, I think I know of at least one person who may be listening here from TSA. That's one of my buds at work. Hey, Eric. So he was telling me about these podcasts, and I said, you know, I do a podcast too. And he started looking it up. The first one he looked at was last week. So he goes, 2 hours? I go, no, that's the exception, not the rule. And I said, we did a 3-hour one once, but then we normally we keep it
about an hour and a half.
Yeah. And even then, it's like an hour, and then the last half hour is pretty much, you know, the eBays, the freaking and geeking. So it's pretty formatted then. But the first hour, it's a free-for-all. A free-for-all!
But James Gunn, you know, you go back, and it's one of those things where he worked at Troma. I can't tell you how many comedians have tweeted out things that are, you know, isolated on their own are pretty vile. But in the context of the joke they are doing, it's like when you watch... I was driving to work last night and had the Comedy Central channel on my satellite radio, and they were playing a roast from 5-6 years ago. Every joke I heard was worse than the jokes that James Gunn had. Every one of them. The ones by Shaquille O'Neal. The ones by Jeff Ross. They were all, you know, because it's a roast. You're vile at a roast. But our problem is, the person who found all the jokes from James Gunn is a far right winger who was mad that James Gunn doesn't like Donald Trump. And basically was looking for a scalp after Roseanne was fired. Yeah. So if you work in the media, there's going to be gotchas. They're out for scalps. And if you're working in any sort of media at all, you need to go through your Twitter feed. You need to go through your Facebook feed. You need to get rid of anything that can be used against you.
Or, like me, don't have a Twitter.
Yeah. But, you know, Patton Oswalt, he's a stand-up comedian, and if he loses his TV and movie gigs, it's not that big a deal to him. But they went through and found a whole bunch of his stuff, and he said, yeah, here's the joke. And he just dumped them all out on the table and said, yep, here are the jokes we were making. By the way, I used this one in my act, and this one in my act, and this one not anymore, but I did in this. And so, I do think it's interesting that all of the cast members put out an open letter basically saying, we want this guy as our director. And I'm wondering if they may we might, unless they're contractually obligated, they might say, you know, we might not be interested in doing another one if you're going to treat people like this.
From what I understand, when you sign a Disney movie, you're obligated for a certain amount of movies.
Yeah.
And with the exception of Robert Downey Jr., who they just show up with a truckload of money, and they'll say, no, give me one more truck.
Well, because his contract's already used up.
Yeah.
And he's not going to sign another contract. He's basically doing it movie by movie.
Yeah. And they're, you know, again, if he just shows up for 20 minutes in a Spider-Man movie and they're going to give him a couple million bucks, sure, why not? But yeah, a new person signing on, like the young lady who's going to be Captain Marvel coming up, probably 7 movies. And that could mean more than likely 3 of her own, and then appearances if there's going to continue an Avenger movie, maybe another appearance in Thor or wherever they can, you know, put the universe together like that. I'm not sure, though, if, like, I can't think of the actor who played Ant-Man. If it's like, okay, Ant-Man was 1, Civil War was 2, Ant-Man Wasp was 3, if that's how it works. But, you know, if you're an actor, who the hell wouldn't like to have, you know, a guaranteed job like that? Not to mention, the other thing that's interesting now is, and this is, I think, more studio-wide, not just Disney, but if you're an actor signing on for a film, you also have to do publicity.
Yes.
It's no longer like Bruce Willis or some of the other guys like Marlon Brando. They do the movie and then they disappear. They don't go out and do any publicity for it. No, you, and with Disney, you have to not only do the publicity, but you got to have the toy scans made, have the toy release to it. If they're going to have a big event at a hospital, you may be showing up there. In addition to whatever you do on your own. So, yeah, the studio's getting more savvy in terms of tying you down into what you have to do versus, well, we just paid you a lot of money. I did the film. Now go away. I don't care if it goes up or down. Because it's like I said, they're spending millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars on a film, only to have you turn around and not do the talk shows or sit down and do the, you know, the local thing. Okay, what is this, KSTP? Oh, hey, how you doing there? Yeah, how's Minneapolis doing? Yeah. Okay, who are we doing next? Oh, WCCO. Hey, WCCO, how you doing?
Yeah. Or, you know, the radio appearances.
Yeah, yeah. Which are usually probably not live, but just, you know, phoned in.
Hell, the live because I've heard actors talk about, yeah, you know, today's my radio day. Oh, what are you going to do? Well, I get up at 4 a.m. And then I do the New York shows, and then I do these, and then I do the Midwest, and then I do the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I meant I should have said in person. That's kind of... Oh. They're not in person. I don't even hear it like when Def Leppard comes to town, you know, the Def Leppard Journey just went to town. I didn't hear them going to local channels to, like, talk and stuff. But there's certainly a lot of build-up to it ahead of time.
So that's what I thought of the James Gunn thing. All I can think is, you know, the guy made Romeo and Juliet. He worked on trauma films. If you want to make him look bad, just pull up his old movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Netflix may be making comic books.
They already are.
Are they out?
The first one was the number two book last month.
Ooh.
Magic Order number one, which is one of the Mark Miller books. It's part of his Netflix deal. Came in at number two behind Justice League number one.
So is this a comic book or is this a graphic novel?
Nope, it is a comic book series through Image. Basically, Netflix is paying Mark Miller for whatever comic book series he comes up with, and then he puts it together, sells it through Image, and Netflix has the right to make a TV show of it.
Ah, interesting.
And there are rumors that they are looking to do that with more people, where they're basically buying the properties as they're being created. So I think they're probably planning that because, you know, Disney's going to have their own streaming service, so, well, we better get something.
Yeah, and that's the other one, too. I guess Disney wins. They're going to buy up Fox.
Yep. I couldn't believe how fast that went. Because
I think the big thing is it's kind of a... oh, geez, I had the notes here and I lost them. See what happens when we have special guests? Disney owns... There's a big-ass British communication company.
Yes.
And Comcast wants it. Disney owns a part of it. Disney could very well go after it, but this is kind of Comcast's way of saying, because the CEO of Comcast kind of sent out a congratulatory letter on to Disney, which is kind of the insiders are thinking, well, that's kind of their way of saying, okay, we let you have Fox, or we're not bidding against it. You know, we want to have this. And whether Disney goes after it or not, I don't know, because they're busy working their own streaming service, which, as we learned by watching WWE do it, funny how everybody followed their model, didn't they, after everybody was poo-pooing it. Anyways, it'll be interesting to see what Disney does with their streaming. Will they go after it? What was it called, Skyline or something?
Skynet? No, Sky.
Sky. I know, let's go with Skynet. That's more ominous.
What I think is interesting is, yeah, they own part of Hulu, and Fox owns the other part of Hulu, and CBS owns another part. So I'm wondering if they might just say, well, you know, Hulu is now Disney streaming. Because if you've got cable, and you're paying for the Disney channels, you can sign up for the Disney Channel and Disney XD and Disney Junior on your Hulu. And the good thing about it is, I don't know when the new Marvel animated shows start, because I don't have time to listen to Marvel's podcast anymore. I'm not an 8-year-old boy, so I'm not keyed into the stuff that they know about. So it's like, oh, the new Guardians of the Galaxy season started. I'll watch it here. So, Streaming's going to get weird. It's going to get weird as more and more companies sort of break down to, you know, the DC model with the DC Universe. They announced that in a big way.
Yeah, I can't get it off my Facebook feed.
Fuck Batman. But
nah, not after Catwoman. He did what? What's her name? He has a son. Taja, was that her name?
Yeah, all I have to say is, okay, fuck Batman. Who you gonna marry? Who you gonna kill?
And of course, the last bit of San Diego Comic-Con news I have is that I got one of those Hot Wheel cars, you know, where it's that has Superman with a jalopy over his head banging it into the side.
Oh!
So, you know, and I have the Behold, I have a Thanos copter.
Oh! How much did it cost you?
Actually, I got it early, so about $30.
Oh, what's it going for now?
I haven't looked, but they're a lot out there right now because everybody's home and they're all putting them up. I've seen them as low as $20, but I haven't seen the final auctions. And they just outright buy it between $30 and $50, depending on who you find.
Well, so, and when you buy it, please give Dave Kraft a dollar because he's the one who created the Thanos copter in Spidey Super Stories.
Good man.
And he doesn't get a penny in royalties.
Didn't even get one of the copters.
Didn't get one of the copters. Didn't get any royalties. I mean, come on. He created the Thanos copter. That's almost as important as creating Thanos. Right?
It is. Yeah. Right? Sure, why not?
The San Diego news that I have is the...
Jim Starlin would have if he had thought of it.
Yeah, but Starlin didn't think of it, did he?
Well, maybe he didn't. Got shot down. Thanos copter. We just got burned on this Spider-Man mobile. We're not going there.
Oh, dude. I bet they made money on that Spider-Man mobile because I had one.
I had the Hot Wheel from last year. And then there's like a Deadpool variant too that you could, you know, where Deadpool took over. Nope, there's a Deadpool car or something like that.
Nope. When I was a kid, I got the Mego Spider-Mobile. I played with that thing forever.
Yep. You were a regular tinkerer.
Yes, I was. The spider net in the back didn't work too long, though.
Yeah.
The Eisners were awarded.
Okay.
We never go over the Eisners. I thought we'd go over the Eisners this year.
How do you even... Do you vote on the Eisners? Is this a...
This is comic creators nominate and vote.
Ah, okay.
So this is a lot like the Oscars in that if you work in comics, you can vote for them. And one of the things about it is part of it is how good the work is. The other part is if a lot of people in comics don't like you, you're not going to win. So there's some people out there who are begging for Eisners who, well, you're kind of a jerk, so I don't think you're ever going to win one, okay? So the best short story was A Life in Comics, The Graphic Adventures of Karen Green by Nick Susanis in Columbia Magazine. I had never heard of this story or this creator. One of the things I like about the Eisners is it kind of points me to, hey, you should probably read this. You'll like it. Best single issue one-shot, Hellboy Kramschnott by Mike Mignola and Adam Hughes. So Adam Hughes actually got some work done, and it got printed this year, unlike his Betty and Veronica book. Best continuing series is one that you mentioned recently. Monstrous by Marjorie Liu and Sana Takeda.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not read that yet, so I guess I will.
Oh, it was awesome. I picked up volume one at a local store, not a comic shop, just a smaller one. And then picked up volume two at the source, and three was just in last month's previews.
Best limited series was Black Panther, World of Wakanda, which I will be reading on Marvel Unlimited. Best new series is Black Bolt, which has already been canceled.
You had your chance.
That's the best new series. Too bad nobody likes it.
Canceled.
Let's see, kids books. Best publication for early readers up to age 8, Goodnight Planet. Best publication for kids age 9 to 12 was The Tea Dragon Society by Katie O'Neill. And that's published by Ani Press, and I have heard of that. It's also a web strip, I believe. Best publication for teens was Monstrous. Best humor publication was Baking with Kafka by Tom Gauld. Had not heard of that. Best anthology, Elements. Fire, a comic anthology by creators of color. I have not read that. Was kind of surprised that it wasn't the one for the Orlando shooting, because that's the one that everybody seemed to love so much. Best reality-based work was Spinning by Tilly Walden from First Second Books. Best graphic album new, My Favorite Thing is Monsters by Emil Ferris. Best graphic novel reprint was Boundless by Jillian Tamaki. Best adaptation from another medium was Kindred by Octavia Butler. Best U.S. edition of international material, Run For It, Stories of Slaves Who Fought for Freedom. Best U.S. edition of international material, Asia, My Brother's Husband, Volume 1. Best archival collection project, Strips, Celebrating Snoopy by Charles M. Schultz. Now, I have not read this, and I wonder how it's different from the Complete Peanuts from Fantagraphics. Is this just kind of the best Snoopy strips?
Probably just Snoopy, yeah, probably. That's what they tend to be. They'll do, like, here's one on all golfing strips, here's one on all, I don't know, Lucy being a fuss budget strip. Snoopy's an easy one, though, because he ended up being one of the favorite characters.
Best Archival Collection Project comic books, the Akira 35th Anniversary Edition. I have Akira in the Epic books, and then I bought the, when Dark Horse had it, in the big, thick trade paperbacks, and yeah, I saw this one, and I was like, good God, that's a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
Best writer was a tie. Tom King, who with Batman and Batman Elmer Fudd, which is 100 times better than you ever thought it could be, and Mr. Miracle, and Marjorie Liu of Monstrous. They shared it. Best writer artist was Emil Ferris for My Favorite Thing is Monsters. Best penciler inker or penciler inker team is Mitch Gerards of Mr. Miracle. Highly deserved. God damn, that's a good book. Best painter multimedia artist, Sana Takeda of Monstrous. Best cover artist, Sana Takeda of Monstrous. Best coloring, Emil Ferris of My Favorite Thing is Monsters. Best lettering, Stan Sakai and Usagi Yojimbo and Gru. Best comics-related periodical journalism was The Comics Journal, which is just a website now, and quite honestly, I never check it anymore. They don't seem to... They don't cover stuff I'm interested in. For best comics-related periodical journalism, I actually would have gone with something by Two Morrows. Best comic-related book, How to Read Nancy, The Elements of Comics in 3 Easy Panels. Best academic scholarly work, Latinx Superheroes and Mainstream Comics. Best publication design was Akira 35th Anniversary. Best digital comic is one that I have, Joe.
Which is?
Harvey Kurtzman's Marley's Ghost, which was a project that Harvey Kurtzman worked on and then kind of set aside. And recently, Shannon Wheeler, Josh O'Neill, and Gideon Kendall finished it up. And it was available on Comixology. And for me, it was like, oh, Harvey Kurtzman! Gotta have that. Best web comic was The Tea Dragon Society by Katie O'Neill. The Bill Finger Excellence in Comics Writing Award were two female writers, Joy Marishan Kelly and Dorothy Wolfwork.
Are you saying they got the finger?
Yes.
Sweet.
The Bob Clampett Humanitarian Award was Frederick Joseph and Comics for Kids. Not Cars for Kids, which should never win an award ever, because not only are they a terrible charity, but damn, I'm sick of that song. On satellite radio, if they don't sell an ad, they drop that in as their PSA. So I keep hearing, 1-800-CARS-FOR-KIDS. For a minute, I thought, oh, that sounds like a good charity. And then I looked them up online, and they're terrible. Will Eisner's Spirit of Comics Retailer Award. Joe, has a comic shop in the Twin Cities ever won an award?
I think we have two. Source and Dreamhaven.
That is correct. It was Norma Comics in Barcelona, Spain. So I guess we got to go there.
Okay. Field trip.
Russ Manning, Promising Newcomer Award. Hamish Steele on Pantheon. And Pablo Tunisia on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Universe. And the Hall of Fame, Carol Kalish. Joe! Does Joe know who Carol Kalish was?
Yes.
Inform the people.
She was, I don't know what her direct title was at Marvel, but she was largely responsible for starting to professionalize comic shops, because a lot of comic shops guys just opened up with three boxes of pack issues and a cigar box. And if they were really advanced, they had a pencil paper for jotting things. She kind of led things to get the retailers to get cash registered. Was she more, I guess, a retail representative?
She was the head of the rec sales department.
So, yeah, it worked a lot. Peter David, I think, worked directly with
her.
Yes. I remember she passed away young, which was shocking. And I remember talking to Maggie Thompson, I'm sorry, at the Comic Buyer's Guide that I have never seen a picture of her. And she's like, yeah, that's pretty much how she probably wants it.
Yeah.
But
I remember there was a far away picture of her in Marvel Age at one point.
Yeah.
That was taken from, like, so far away you couldn't make out her face.
But I believe in a recent issue, a back issue, where they talked a little bit more about what she did, they showed some better pictures. So that was kind of neat.
Charles Adams was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Creator of the Adams Family, as well as a prominent New Yorker cartoonist. Karen Berger, editor at Vertigo.
Karen Berger.
Dave Gibbons, probably best known for doing the comic inside the Jethro Tull album, Too Old to Rock and Roll and Too Young to Die.
I thought it was Thick as a Brick.
No.
Are you talking the back panel? Yeah.
When you open up the album, there was this comic strip. That was by Dave Gibbons. I don't know. What else has he done? Anything?
Who knows? If you've done Jethro Tull, but you don't need to do anything else.
Watch something. I don't know.
I don't.
And Rumiko Takahashi, who did...
Hey, watch your mouth.
She did Ranma ½, Lum, all sorts of Japanese...
Oh, Lum, I remember that.
All sorts of Japanese manga. So there's your shopping list, kids. Those are considered the best books by the people who work in comics. And Tom King, I could not agree with more. He is kind of the 1,000-pound gorilla at this point, to where not only can he, no matter what he does, I'm going to read it, but I also know I'm going to get blown away by it. Ever since I read him on Vision, it's like, yeah, I'm reading everything this guy does. So, Joe, you've read Monstrous. Tell the people.
Yes.
I haven't read it yet, so sell me on this book.
All right. Hang on a second. Let me get the...
Let me whip this out.
Yeah, I'm using the... How do you spell Monstrous? I can't even spell it. Monstrous. There we go. Let's see. It is from Image, and this is from the Punisher. They basically call it steampunk meets Keiju in this original fantasy epic for mature readers, as young Mikia risks everything to control her psychic link with a monster of tremendous power, placing her in the center of a devastating war between humans and otherworldly forces. If you were lucky enough to get the first issue, it guide's about $50 because, again, no one was really paying attention, and now everybody is. I picked mine up in the book form. The art is absolutely gorgeous, just compelling, and the story just drives you on, and sometimes I had to stop and go back and look at the art. Book one covers 1 through 6. Number 2 is 7 through 12. And book 3, like I said, has just been solicited. It'll get you up to issue 18, which is everything that's published. They do like Images want to do. They'll do 6 issues, and then there's a slight pause, and then another 6 issues, and so on. So, you know, you're not going to spend, if you follow it monthly, it's not like you're going to be killing yourself. I enjoyed it much more in the book format because you get the whole complete story. And, of course, it'll be leaving you wanting more. And like most Image first books, the first one's only $10, so you get a chance to try it. I think they've got the first number one out around, so maybe you'll be able to pick one of those up for $1 and give it a try. But definitely on my buy list. I buy it in graphic novel format. Just haunting art, just beautiful, great story. I could rave more, but I'm drooling. Look at me. I just kind of quit.
Well, you talked about how Image, they'll do 6 issues and a break. Some sad news. Sad news, everyone. Sad news this week.
We haven't had sad news in a while.
No, we got sad news. We had sad news when Steve Ditko died.
That was more of a tribute episode. It wasn't really sad.
Okay, sad news, everyone. Saga, after issue 54, is taking a break that will be at least a year.
Well, good. I can finally get caught up. I haven't decided if I'm going to just do the individual trades or just go get one of the big books.
But I wanted to ask Joe a retailer question. Because this is going to be a long break. This is a break for over a year. And I know how I, as a reader, handle it. But I was wondering, as a retailer, there have been books that have taken long breaks before. We talked last week about Bone. Bone took a break that was over a year. It might have been over 2 years, while Jeff Smith was trying to put together an animated movie with Nickelodeon. And there have been other books that take long breaks. Rising Stars. I know you're a big JMS fan. Rising Stars took a long break. Planetary. The Warren Ellis book took a long break. The 12... Camelot 3000s was kind of the first long break I remember because it was like, okay, where's the 12th issue? And you had to wait a year. And I remember at the time, you know, comic fans, we didn't understand the ordering process. So DC announced, it's done! It's ready to go! You'll have it in your hands in 3 months! And we were like, what the hell? And the reason was, shops had to order it, then they would print it, then they would... We were like, DC, it's ready to go! Cool, it'll be out in 2 weeks!
Which was always a contention thing, because they would say things like that, get people all whipped up, and then by the time it came out, nobody would care.
Yeah.
Or they'd forgotten about it.
But with the long breaks, how did you as a shop deal with the long break when the book came back? Because it's almost like a brand new book, isn't it?
I don't think there were a lot of books, at least not ones that were significant. Usually, for the customer, I would just put it in a reserve pull list. So I had a big binder full of titles. Most of them are titles that just like disappeared, like Crimson, Battle Chasers. Were there new ones coming out? No idea. But I had the list just in case. I did have the Wonder Board that... I would always say, hey, this is coming back. If it was on your list, it should still be there. If not, we'll put it on. As technology developed and I got email, I could email people direct and say, hey, Bone's coming back. It was on your list. Do you still want it? So I wouldn't be ordering extras. Nothing would be worse than ordering, like, well, I had 25 people that wanted it, so I'll order 40 for the shelf, and then 20 of the people didn't want it, and they put it back on the shelf. So... that book, that would happen probably more with a superhero book. With a miniseries or a creator-owned, it was less of a worry. Because they were, if you bought Grendel, you bought Bone, you bought Mage, you were probably going to buy it when it finally did come out again. So, but most of the time, in reality, when they took a break, they just were gone. And Hepcats is a good example. The guy just kind of disappeared. We don't know what happened. People wanted the book, but there were no more to be given. Tyrant, Steve Bissett's dinosaur book, kind of the same way, just kind of stopped. And some people, oh, no, he announced he was doing this. Well, if he did, he didn't get it to me, the retailer, because I didn't know. You know, and I had ordered that one deep because I always left it on the shelf because apparently a kid would come by and go, hey, look, a dinosaur book, and take it with him. So that was pretty much how I dealt with it, you know, take it off the list. My biggest problem I had is the subscriptions and the pull lists, your discount was based upon how many monthly books you had. Well, I had guys who would order like 20 copies of a book that didn't even ship yearly, and that was their subscription. And I was like, well, come on. You come in every week and you're picking up stuff. Put down just two monthly ones. And you order previews and one of them is it. And I had people, too. There was one lady who wanted James Bond comics. And I think I called her once in the 90s. Because there were no James Bond comics. There was only one. And I think it was a Dark Horse. Death by Chocolate, I think, was one where I had a... person who really wanted it. So whenever an issue came out, I called her up and said, a new one just came in. And she appreciated it. She'd come pick it up. So it's probably easier now because, you know, there's even a website, I think, like, what happened to these books or where did they go?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Well, we've talked about it in the past. Like the Dinner with Superman, which was announced at Barry Windsor Smith tweet,
oh, yeah.
Date of Superman. Where did it go? Nobody knows. It just disappeared. And I'd have to Google to find a website. But it's fun to kind of go through because they kind of cover everything, what happened, where it went, or if there was any news. So I'd have to find it. Now I got to go. I'll figure it out for next week. I'll go find that website for that. Maybe we'll take a visit to it. That would be kind of fun.
For me as a reader... Bone, he announced he was taking a break so that he could work on a project and he would come back. So that was one thing where it's okay, I'll wait till he comes back. I understand, you know, basically that, you know, Nickelodeon was giving him a lot of money to develop Bone as a animated show or a movie, and then it didn't pan out, but they still paid him for his time, which is, you know, that's one of the cool things about Hollywood. It's like, okay, well, you gave us a script, here's your money. You gonna make it? Nah. I don't think so.
Well, Liberty Meadows from Frank Cho is that way. It's coming back. It's coming back. But they keep getting optioned.
Yeah.
And so when it got optioned, it never, he never come up with it. And it's not like he's want for work, but, you know, I like Liberty Meadows. He kind of gave it an ending, too. So
yeah.
It's not like it's he necessarily will visit it again, but...
But as a reader, if somebody pulls something like that more than once... They get, in my mind, put in the, I wait till it's done. Chester Brown did that with Underwater. You know, you're buying Underwater, which was kind of, it took a while to figure out, but it's, oh, okay, this is the world, this is the story of a baby from the baby's perception. Because the first issues were like you didn't understand what anything was happening and things would just go dark. And it took like five or six issues before you just finally started to piece it together and go, oh, this is the story of a baby from the baby's perspective. And then he just kind of, yeah, it's not selling well enough. It's over. Well, you going to give it an ending? Nah, why bother? And that's when it's all right. Well, Chester Brown, I'm not buying your stuff till it's done. Or Warren Ellis. Got burned so many times by Warren Ellis that it's, yeah, I'm not buying it till it's done. I'll buy it in a trade paperback. JMS is the same way. You know, when he was on a regular book at Marvel, you know, on Spider-Man, he had to put it out every month. But then on Thor, he started falling behind and falling behind. Finally, they said, okay, here's the new creator on Thor. When JMS gets his stuff done, we'll put it out as a one-shot. Or, you know, the Batman, the Superman story, where he started a 12-issue story, lost interest halfway through, and somebody else had to finish it. But there are some creators where it's, okay, I'm just going to wait till it's done, and taking a break on a book is what causes that. Whether you announce it or not, if I'm not going to get it every month or every 2 months or whatever, it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll wait till the story's done, because for all I know, you won't finish a story. And I've got how many thousands of comics from the 80s and 90s where the story never finished. And not only can I not read them again because I know the story doesn't finish, but try and sell them online. Good luck with that. Hey, do you want the 7 issues of Sonic Disruptors? The DC miniseries that Mike Baron never finished? No, not really. Nobody wants that. Nobody cares. The last thing on my list, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading through on Marvel Unlimited. And they put up the Mark Waid, Andy Kubert, Kazar series. Which is a fun series. And the whole time I'm reading it, I'm going, why the hell, in 1997, did they go to Mark Waid and Andy Kubert? Andy Kubert, who could have done the X-Men, could have done anything and made bajillions of dollars. And they, hey, do Kazar.
Kazar.
By the way, in your second story arc, have Kazar fight Thanos.
Yeah. Let Squirrel Girl have all the fun.
Now, do you remember that book at all?
Negative.
Because I was wondering...
I'm big on Mark Waid. Usually I see Mark Waid writing something and I'm on it.
I was just wondering how that did when it came out in shops. Because Kazar is this character who's been around since before Timely Comics. Shall I go into storytelling, Joe?
Sure.
Would you like the history of Kazar?
Kazar...
Back in the 30s, Mark Goodman had his pulps, and his pulps were notorious for reprinting stories without saying they were reprints, which got him hauled into court repeatedly, but he also had absolutely no problem at all ripping off other popular characters, such as Tarzan. Tarzan's really popular. Why don't we have a Jungle Man, too? And Kazar's origin was that his father was very, very rich. And one of the brothers stayed in the city, and the father and Kazar went into the jungle, and the father was killed, and Kazar was raised in the jungle, and his brother became a wealthy millionaire. So they added the brother to the Tarzan story, basically. And then when the comic started, well, we need a jungle character. Why not use Kazar? We already own him, so Kazar started showing up in the comics. Then, you know, the comics, Kazar didn't last all that long, and everything faded. And then in the 60s, Joe, do you remember where Kazar showed up first at Marvel Age of Comics?
In the X-Men, I believe.
That's right. The X-Men went to the Savage Land, and Kazar was there. And then when Conan became popular, the first few issues of Savage Tales had Conan, and when Conan got his own magazine and Savage Sword of Conan, Kazar got his own book. Kazar took over Savage Tales, and then he got a comic that lasted about 20-some issues in the 70s. And then in the late 70s, Bruce Jones and Brent Anderson did a series that I think after like 12 issues went direct sales only with the Micronauts and Moon Knight. And it lasted, what, 36 issues, 40 issues, something like that. And then they brought him back in the 90s. And it didn't sell really that well because it didn't last more than 17, 18 issues. But Kazar started as a complete Tarzan knockoff. Then in the mid-70s, they really played with the Savage Land and having all sorts of aliens and stuff. And then when Bruce Jones and Brent Anderson did it, they made Kazar intelligent. He didn't talk like, you know, he didn't talk like the movie Tarzan. So that by the time you had Mark Waid's Kazar, he pretty much talked like every other Marvel character. And he's always been kind of floating around the Marvel Universe, but he doesn't have any powers. So... really, there's not a lot you can do with him in a superpowered universe. But the Kazar by Andy Kubert and Mark Waid, it's out there on Marvel Unlimited. Go read it now.
Now.
You know what else you should be reading now, Joe?
What's that?
Whatever these guys are selling. You know, these guys, our sponsors. That's right, here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, we have ads, and our first sponsor is me. That's right, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. I have my first book out with Dangerous Dan Moore. It's the first 100 strips of our online web strip, Worldwide News, the story of the lowest-rated cable news network. And you can get yourself a copy with commentary, with all sorts of extras, with signatures and everything. Just email Dan over at lordshadowflame@gmail.com. Our top sponsor, who's been with us since day one, is DreamHost. DreamHost.com. You need yourself a website, and DreamHost.com is the number one web host in the whole known universe. Just head over to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, get $20 off your first year. How can you beat that? Our other sponsor is Graze, G-R-A-Z-E.com. Healthy snacks for a healthy lifestyle. Just head over to Graze, put in the code CORYS3R5P. Your first and fifth box are free. You could get them weekly. You could get them bi-weekly. You could get them monthly. You just order a whole bunch of them. It's great stuff to keep you away from the vending machine at work. Now, if you would like to leave a comment for any of the podcasts that we do, we'd love those. Go ahead and email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, or you can call 952-856-0519. Operators are standing by. Okay, it's just a place that we'll record your calls, but we'll play them on the air. We'll answer your questions. We love getting feedback. Tell us what you think. Ask a question. Suggest a topic. Be a guest. Send us your stuff. solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. If you would like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose radio shows, you can. Just email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising. Thanks. And now that the sponsors are done, we had Stephanie on last week.
Yes.
And they dropped a new episode of Scrabbling Across the West right after we got done recording.
Ooh, that's great product placing.
So we must have given them a goosed them to do a new episode. There are all sorts of podcasts on the Solitaire Rose Network. Let's listen.
The Solitaire Rose Radio Network has all sorts of podcasts. We've got Scrabbling Across the West with Dave Cafell and his lovely bride, Stephanie. They travel across the country playing musical gigs, and at night they sit down to play Scrabble and talk about their day at scrabbling.solitairerose.com. There's Novelcast over at novels.solitairerose.com, where I take the novels that I've written and turn them into audio podcasts. Currently, we are doing a novel called Do the Job, which is a murder mystery set in the world of 1980s professional wrestling. Then, over at badadvice.solitairerose.com, me, Corey Strode, and Wolfie B. Bad, along with Dan Moore, give bad advice to people who send in questions. That's bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is growing. Be there! You think NBC will get mad I used that?
And now that all my plugs are out of the way, we now get to Joe's favorite part of the show. No, 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 not where I read aloud from the collected works of Shakespeare. It's Joe, what's going on the eBays?
I'm finding multiple articles on titles that have never started up again. But not like what there was used to be a one overall database that I used to look at. It was just fun reading, but Wikipedia is good, whatever. I have failed. But I'm not failing on the eBays. Although I did have a weird one where some guy gave me positive feedback, but a negative slam. So
is that even possible?
Yeah, he said A+, and then gave me a negative. Because they're two different things, your comment and the thing. And I went and looked at how this guy leaves his feedback. This is a bit of a dummy, because everything he's left as feedback is negative or neutral. But he's leaving positive attitudes. So he's either a real daft person, or he's just playing eBay and getting a secret jollies out of it. So that was kind of unfortunate. But I don't let it bug me, because I've been doing this for a while. And hopefully people will look and see I have 4,900 unique positives with one dumbass negative. So, anyways, Corey, how much does it cost to have an eBay account?
Nothing.
Right. So there's no reason why you can't set up an eBay account and buy. Selling's a different matter. So when you, if you decide to sell things, you would set up an eBay account, give me a credit card, because eBay charges you fees based on what you sell. They don't charge for listing anymore. So theoretically, you could list 1,000 items, but only pay if it sells. Now, they have tons of different upgrades you can do. One thing that's cool on the comic book collectibles is you, most of the time they give you the, you put the mouse over the picture and you get an automatic zoom on it. So you can take a closer look at condition, or if you want to look at a certain detail on the comic. That is, they charge for in other categories, like for toys, things like that. So you could put bold on your headline if you want, make it stand up from the listings. But again, we'll draw Corey in. Corey, when you're looking for something on eBay, how do you look for it?
I use the search function.
So that's probably more important. You want to make sure you got your search engine, or keywords is what they call them up. For example, I sold a Dawn 2017 sketchbook signed by Joseph Michael Linsner. It was in near mint shape. Can you guess, Corey, what my title was?
Dawn.
Okay, that would let's try that. Okay, I'm gonna open up my eBay window. We're gonna look up Dawn, D-A-W-N, and you have 2,030 results in over 25 categories.
Boobs.
Actually, you need to go to the adult one for that. And I don't feel like doing that. No, my my title was Dawn 2017 sketchbook signed by Joseph Michael Linsner near mint, because somebody might just tie in Joseph Michael Linsner. Somebody might put in Dawn sketchbook or Dawn 2017. For example, how I found the Thanos copter and the action toy earlier, I just put in Hot Wheels SCDD 2018. If you put SCDD, you're going to get, well, let's just do it. We're talking about it. And that's assuming nobody put in San Diego Comic-Con. But you put that in, you've got 78,685 results, and that's just all San Diego Comic-Con stuff. So, again, you limit the keywords, and you're able to find what you're looking for. How somebody found Hands Off, which was a 1994 benefit comic that, I guess, it was against discrimination and homophobia. And maybe they just typed in Hands Off, and they were able to find it. Or the other thing I sold this week was a Red Sonja Tarzan number 1 Dynamic Forces exclusive variant cover with COA. Some people really like COAs, although, like we talked about back when I was in Vegas, a certificate of authenticity doesn't mean what you think it means. It just means that they think it's authentic, but if you ever follow along what's going on in like the autograph industry, or especially sports memorabilia, tons of forgeries. There's the certificates, almost need a certificate of authenticity. So again, from Dynamic Forces, yeah, I don't know why they have one with their book. It probably just makes it more cool. But you know, it's, you start getting signed things, and I think if you saw Dynamic Forces, you'd probably believe it more than anything. And other people have it. I have a Nova number 1 that Mark Stegbauer signed when he actually was at Granite City Comics. So they include a little Granite City certificate of authenticity. How to know if it is for sure? Well, bring it up to Mark. He can tell you if he did it or not. So there are a couple eBay 101s. I'll probably do that off and on. And if I get enough of it together, maybe make a solo Joe out of it. In the meantime, if you want to see what I'm selling, especially before I probably have to shut it down when I do my hip operation in the future, near the year 2019, go to KRAYZ, mention you're part of this family, the what do we want to call ourselves, the crazy universe?
Sure, that works.
Sure, yeah, we're the crazy universe out there. If you're part of it, I would do something special, like maybe I'll reach over and let's see, what do I got over here? Here we go. This is from one of our sponsors, yeah, the Razor guys. This is the Summer Kickoff Bathroom Reader issue from May 2018. So when you're sitting on the grabber, you have something to read. Very, very important. And I'd give you one for free. What a giving guy I am.
Well, now we get to my favorite part of the show. No, not where I drink five Leinenkugel Berry Weisses and try to give the history of the Fantastic Four.
Or I drink Fireball and try to explain how Steve Ditko was the bomb.
No, it's freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
To revisit Hipgate, I'm kidding, Cortisone
it's
shot this
hip
Friday.
Watch. Hip Watch.
I'm calling it Hipgate because it's pissing me off. Okay, Hip Watch, fine. It's your show. It's a GAT.
You're the one who named it Hip Watch.
Yeah, well, I'm the one that stayed up all night in pain. I think I can call it whatever the fuck I want. No, I'm getting a cortisone shot Friday. I'm really looking for it. It's an ultrasound cortisone shot. I am scared to Google it. But I mean, I think what they do is they use the ultrasound to aim the needle. And I actually requested two because, as I said, my right hip's the one that's shot and my left hip is showing signs of going there. The other thing kind of bugging me is no box day this week. 5 weeks in July, but because I think they said what previews comes out the week we're doing the podcast, right?
Yep, previews is out on August 1st because it actually ships the last week of the month. So stores get it on July 31st for on sale at August 1st.
Which is really weird because, as I would argue, the last complete week was the week before. But I think that just gives them an extra week to dork around with it, really. Either way, no box week this week. We were going to do our review show, but probably do it next week because I'll have new comics to read. And who knows if the cortisone actually takes effect, I actually feel like reading something instead of just blubbering into my pillow and trying to watch something dirty online to take my mind away from it. What are you freaking on, Strode?
The Simpsons are ending.
Serious?
The Simpsons comic, after 245 issues, is going away.
Now, that's a case of where the book was sometimes, the comic was better than the show.
Oh, yeah. And there are things in the comic that I remember, and I, you know, because I was reading some early issues a while back, and it's like, oh, I thought that was an episode of the show. But, nope, the Simpsons comic is going away. It never really sold very well in the U.S. The thing that kept it going were the European sales. And the European sales, I guess, were really good, and they're still really good. But the comic is ending, and the story is that probably Bongo Comics is ending as well. And I wonder how much of that is Bill Morrison, who was kind of the editor-in-chief at Bongo, moving to Mad Magazine. They were like, well, you know, we really can't find anybody as good, and sales aren't that great, and, you know, let's just go ahead and shut it down.
The ones I would recommend picking up for a real fun time, if you can find them cheap, are the Halloween issues. Because what were fun, they make a Treehouse of Horror is what they call them. What they do is they would get people that don't normally work on comics, much less Simpson comics, and have them do a story. And you'd find just some crazy stuff. I loved reading it every time it came out. I'm trying to call it up here and just talk
and
about
their,
some of the
Free Comic Book Day issue was always the best of the Free Comic Book Day issues every year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Bongo gave a lot of people their first jobs, by the way, including Gail Simone.
Just looking at the Treehouse of Horror, here you got Jeff Smith, Luis Escobar, Mike Eldred, Phil Ortez. How many are there? Wow, there's quite a few of these. There's at least 23 of them. And absolute fun. Evan Dorkin, Gene Ha, Kelly Jones, Gene Farbury, Terry Moore, Gene Colan, Bernie Wrightson. I mean, can you imagine him doing a Simpsons Treehouse of Horror comic? And that's just the artists. I mean, the writers, Wolfman, Lean, Gene Simmons. Yes, that one. Garth Ennis, Jill Thompson, Serge Argonis. Well, he probably did the art too. Patton Lash did the art. Evan Dorkin. I mean, they are tend to be more expensive because they were $8 books to begin with. They started out at $3 books, but eventually they ramped them up and made them real, real thick ones. But in my mind, they were probably some of the best reading out of the whole Simpson line.
And really a shame. Not only did they have a lot of new talent, but also it's a place where older talent could find work. Andrew Peepoy inked tons of issues. Mike DiCarlo inked tons of issues. Chuck Dixon wrote a whole bunch of Simpson stories, which surprised me because Chuck Dixon's stuff doesn't strike me as funny when he's doing superheroes. But he had the Simpsons down, and the Simpsons were, you know, they've been around forever. The comic, 245 issues.
When the heck did they start? 92?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm wondering if somebody like Boom or IDW might pick up the license. Because, you know, again, European sales were very, very good. The other thing is that we got notice that Skype is forcing everybody to upgrade in September. And then I tried the upgraded Skype, and it did not mesh with Pamela. So I went to the Pamela website, and they said, yeah, we're working with Microsoft to try and get it to where they will allow us to, you know, all the technical stuff. But then I read last week that Skype has announced that there you will be able to record your calls in Skype with Skype. Which, if it works, cool. But yes. For all the cursing we do about Pamela, we've been using Pamela since 2010.
Yeah, at the very beginning.
Yep. So we will see what's going to happen with Skype. I know some people...
So if there is a slight delay in the podcast, we will let you know.
There will never be a delay. We will always have a podcast on Monday.
I hope so.
Even if I have to drive to your house with a recorder.
Oh, that works. We meet halfway. Find ourselves a cafe. We, you know, Adam's not in town. We could take his shtick. Let's visit a pizza place and talk comics.
Hmm.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Adam, huh?
Yeah, Adam.
He might come back in town because, you know... October 6, 2018 is the MCBA Fall Comic Con out at the Edumacation Building.
And Joe won't be there.
I don't know if I'll be there. I might not be able to walk. Seriously, you should
Joe
have seen me.
Joe might be in a wheelchair.
I might be. Maybe I'll race Jerome, say, get you to Dakota Books. But, yeah.
That'd be cool. You could be in a wheelchair. You cosplay as the Chief from Doom Patrol. Oh, wait, no, you're bald. Guess you got to be Professor X.
Now, I got a good middle-aged do going here. I'm thinking of getting rid of it. You know, I may be a middle-aged man. I just don't want to look like one.
So, Joe, what are you geeking on?
I read it.
You're
the
what?
Entire Infinity Crisis Omnibus. Now, yeah, I'm sure you're all saying, aha, that's why your hip gave out.
Oh,
I actually... I actually, and you're probably not far wrong. I mean, it was great.
I had to put it on a table.
I had it at work, and people were like, what's that? Oh, just light reading. I use it to, you know, shore up the foundation of my house, ward off gang attacks, and kill small mammals. But what was fun for me is I only read the Infinity Crisis. I didn't read any of the crossovers or the miniseries that led up to it. And you really, like most crossovers are, you probably wanted to because, you know, it started out, the one book was the War on Magic. I think that was Shadow Pack. It was the Rangard Thangorian War, which played into towards the end of Crisis. I forget the one they called where Batman dealing with Brother Eye.
OMAC,
thank you. And then, of course, fortunately, when you're reading the Crisis book, before you start, it says, this is part one of this book. And they do have the miniseries that led up to Wonder Woman, you know, snapping Max's neck to free control of Superman. And it was just done really well because this is pretty much the darkness of the DC Universe and how it went through the Infinite Crisis and became a little lighter afterwards. You get to the end, you know, I think Batman took off with Tim and Dick to retrace the steps he took as Batman. Superman had been powered down. He used up all his power. And Wonder Woman, she was it. All the Amazons basically were gone. So just a fun series. The stuff I never read was compelling, and it was interesting enough. And then, of course, when you get to the series itself, just I always blow his last name. Phil
Jimenez.
Thank you. A worthy successor to the original Crisis that Wolfman and Perez pulled off. Of course, as you and I both know, it was all moot because Final Crisis didn't matter. I'm reading the Crisis backwards. Next week, I'm going to talk about how well the Crisis on Infinite Earths was. So, good no matter where it sits. I haven't been really... I'm still at work. I mean, everybody at work is like, what the hell's wrong with you? I said, yeah, if I can move 2 miles an hour. Because, as you know...
I need to get paid.
I need to get to work. Yeah. But my wife and I did discover one new show called Dark Tourism on Netflix. Dark Tourism is tourism involving travel to places historically associated with death and tragedy. And there's a guy, David Ferrier, and he's doing a show on Netflix where he actually goes and visits some of these places. 8 episodes. You can. I don't recommend binging it. But we watched the one on Japan where he goes visit a town hit by radiation. How do you say? Fukushima?
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, just amazing. In the United States, they find vampires in New Orleans. Another chilling episode in Back of the USA where they actually go visit a guy who was pen pal with Charles Manson. He was the guy who Charles Manson gave all his stuff to after he passed away, the heir apparent. And then there was also a really weird... I don't know how you explain it. It's kind of a ultimate thrill seekers thing. Although the guy who's running it says you really don't want to do it, and he just will astound the senses. I mean, we watched it, and we're just some of the stuff we're shivering. For me, it was like seeing the radiation zone at Fukushima was actually kind of cool. Although I don't know if I'd ever do it because although they said, "Oh yeah, radiation level won't go up," the people were watching their Geiger counters go up and up and up and up and up. Some of it I shiver at. Some of it I'm like, no effing way. And I still got a bunch of episodes to do. But again, just a fun, interesting thing that I was never aware of. I mean, I've talked to guys who, yeah, I go visit graves of people, you know, which I thought was vaguely interesting. I was in the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., where not only is Woodrow Wilson interned. And you know why that's significant, Corey?
I do not.
He's the only president not buried in his home state.
Oh.
Everybody else will get buried at their libraries or their home state, but for some reason Woodrow Wilson isn't. And Helen Keller is buried there, which really was kind of like, whoa. And you can see on the wall where the Braille is and now the blind people come in, and it's constantly being rubbed off because people are, you know, checking it out. So that was just kind of fascinating. But this show, same thing, fascinating and eerie and highly recommended. That's pretty much it for me, just the two. How about you, Mr. Strode? What are you geeking on?
The first thing is they announced that the Wasp is coming back, and I praised the Wasp when it came out before. It was canceled due to low sales, but I guess the trade paperback sold well enough. It's coming back. They're doing a Ant-Man and Wasp miniseries right now where Scott Lang and Hank Pym's daughter are trapped in the Microverse. And it's written by Mark Waid, and it's a lot of fun. And it also, one of the things about a new Marvel character that's fun and quirky is I worry that no one else can write the character other than the creator. But Mark Waid has got a good handle on the character. She's highly intelligent because she's Hank Pym's daughter. She's relentlessly positive. And I like that she kind of resents Scott Lang for stealing her dad's identity. But they're working through it. I've read the first issue of Amazing Spider-Man by Spencer. And I was a little worried because it's Amazing Spider-Man and it's not written by Dan Slott. But I like the fact that in the first issue, Nick Spencer kind of blew everything up. But it's easy to tell that he has a plan, and I think that's because in the past he's blown things up and people don't get bent out of shape that he blew them up. But he blew things up, but you can tell, oh, okay, he's going somewhere with all this stuff. And we already know he handles Spider-Man's villains well because he wrote Superior Foes of Spider-Man. So Boomerang is Peter Parker's roommate. And that's a lot of fun. And for those of you who think that Peter and Mary Jane should get back together, well, you're going to want to pick up this issue.
I know.
My roof has been leaking for 2 years. I finally was able to find a group of people. And
wait a minute. That wasn't an indoor waterfall? I think you got me fooled.
Yeah, I mean, me too. But finally, I found some people who rubberized my roof. And they were up there for quite a while. They did a lot of work. It costs a lot of money. So whenever you say, Corey, why do you work so much? Well, I was able to pay for that without blinking an eye. Which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. When there are times in the past when it's like, oh, crap, I got a flat tire. Well, I hope I don't get another flat tire before payday because I can't afford to fix this one. Read some comics. The last of Mark Waid's Archie comics came out, wrapped up his run on the book. It was a good ending. It was well done. I liked it. I'm interested again. Nick Spencer's going to be taking over Archie after a miniseries with Mark Waid and Peter Krause, set in 1941, and they have a preview of it in the back of Archie 32, and boy, Pete's art looks nice. Pete's art just looks so nice.
I know. I am so looking forward to getting this.
I'm reading the New Mutants miniseries. It's written by the guy who, a year ago, I was head over heels in love with the miniseries We Cannot Go Home. And Marvel has snapped him up, and he's doing all sorts of work. His name is Rosenberg. I can't remember his first name off the top of my head. But he's doing a New Mutants miniseries, but it's not got all the New Mutants in it. It's like, okay, here's Magic and Ileana and Strong Guy and Richter and it's really good. It's one of those where if you know your Marvel history, especially your mutant history, you're like, oh, wow, he's really pulling in all kinds of stuff that nobody's used for a long time, but it's not overwhelming. And he also fixed one of the things that's pissed me off over the last 5 years. Remember when Strong Guy became possessed by a demon and killed Wolfbane's kid? Well, he explains that. So that Strong Guy is no longer a bad guy. Because after that story, it's like, well, they can't use Strong Guy for anything anymore. He's pure evil.
I don't see Cyclops making a comeback.
Oh, I do.
The young one maybe, but not the old one.
We'll see something. Yeah, they reboot people all the time. And the other book that I read is a digital-only book, and it's Cloak and Dagger number 1. And it's by Dennis Hopeless, who, for me, is kind of hot and cold. I hated his, the Young Avengers on Arcades Island. I hated that story. Hated it, hated it, hated it. Hated the follow-up. But I've liked a lot of his other stuff. His Cloak and Dagger is fantastic. It's the first Cloak and Dagger story since the 80s where I went, he gets it. He understands why these characters are special. Because I think one of the things that we've forgotten was when Cloak and Dagger showed up in Spectacular Spider-Man, everybody was like, oh, these characters are cool. And we got really hooked on them. And then there was the miniseries, and we were hooked even more. And then the series came out, and it's like, well, they dropped the ball on that, and they haven't picked the ball up since. It's just been a mess ever since. Well, this doesn't erase everything. It keeps that, but it also kind of resets everything so that Cloak and Dagger are instantly cool again. And as I said, it's the first Cloak and Dagger story I've read in a long, long time that I've liked. And it's part of Comixology's digital only. So I don't know if this will ever see print. Last thing I am geeking on, Runaways, which was on Hulu, is going to be on Freeform. It did so well on Hulu that they're putting it on the cable channel Freeform. Cloak and Dagger did so well, it got a second season. So all these other Marvel shows are doing well, and Disney aiming some of them at the young adult, teenage audience is working out well. I may actually get the DC Universe. Not because of the Nightwing saying, fuck Batman, but because, okay, I wouldn't mind watching a Doom Patrol show. I wouldn't mind having access to all of the old Superman cartoons, all of the old Batman cartoons, all of the DC movies, and everything for $7.99. There will be huge gaps in their comics, because, you know, you've got the TV shows and stuff, and you can also, like, read old comics. There are going to be huge gaps in those comics, because there's some stuff that DC has to pay royalties on, and because they have to pay royalties on it, they can't put it on there, because it's like, hey, if you print it, there's a minimum royalty you have to pay. So there's going to be a huge gap. And it's going to go from the beginning of DC till about the early 80s, and then a little jump to the DC 52. So for $7.99 a month, that's not bad, because Marvel's $9.99 a month, and I think the DC Universe is $75 a year. So I'm interested. They're going to have to sell me a little bit, and more and more, if you don't have a Roku app, I'm not going to bother with the streaming, because it's pointless to, oh, well, you can hook it up through your Chromecast, and then you connect your this to the, no, you have a Roku app or leave me alone. Okay, got it. The final thing, they have announced the new season of Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's a freaking and a geeking, Joe.
Okay.
It's a geeking because, hey, new season of Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's a geeking, it's a freaking, because it's only 6 episodes.
Oh.
Now, they say because they're doing a shorter season, they'll be back sooner, but I tell you what, that's kind of what they did when they were on the Comedy Central. It's like, oh, here's a big season, now here's a smaller season, now here's a, gone. And they did it on Sci-Fi, so I hope it's not the same thing where it's, hey, here's a big new season, ah, here's a smaller season, ah, we're gone, bye. But they also are going on tour, Joe.
They are?
Yes, and they are ending their tour in Minneapolis in November. So I got to get me some tickets.
Cool.
Well, believe it or not, kids, you have listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half.
Good for you.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Time to ask the Strode.
Well, it's about damn time.
Well, yeah, but I've been giving you all these freebies, but here we go.
For a shiny new dime.
All right. Two questions, and then I need an answer. Actually, let's just make it one. What does the Atlantic Rhythm Section and Brother Kane have in common?
Your cousin.
Whose name is?
Well, I don't remember.
Well, you should, because he has graciously allowed us to preview, well, not really, it's been out for a while, his first single. My cousin's name is Dave Anderson. He's got more talent in his body than most people have anywhere, including your colon. He's played with Brother Kane. He's currently playing with the Atlantic Rhythm Section. He's been doing this since I was a kid. And he's finally taken on his own music called the Dave Anderson Project. A little narcissistic, but hey, whatever. It's through 10 Ton Records. Sure, you can go to iTunes. Sure, you can go to Apple Music. Sure, you can go to Spotify, YouTube, or 10 Ton Records itself and see the other people that they are featuring on that awesome website. Or just listen here. Here's David's first single entitled Welcome. And you can, oh, how could I forget? Hit the music!
to the first day of the rest of your life. Tomorrow showed up early to the show. Welcome to the daydream. Don't wake up, whatever you do. Life is flashing by before your eyes. A new kid's case of joy, record time. They'll teach you how they did it. Good luck keeping up. Welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Couldn't get any better. Should have been much worse. Welcome to the last road on the right of your life. Was paid with good intentions. Hoping this is not all that you wrote. Your mother's undercover on the social net. Big brother is each other. I'm watching you. You